From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. We are the Bill Michaels Show. I'm Bill Michaels. Radio Joe across the way, if you want to chime in. Feel free today. It's a Friday. Getting you ready for the weekend, the divisional round, Bucks games, college basketball. Let's do this real quick because some things are a little bit more important than sports. What a night last night as it came across the wire on my phone that Jamie Kloss was found. The girl from Barron County and the Barron County Sheriff's Office and law enforcement and the FBI have been looking for her for a long time. The oddity is she was only 60 miles away, but nevertheless, she's been found, she's safe, and this was the girl that back in October, her parents were both killed, she was then abducted, then everything else we know about it goes from there. But I know the press conference going on, but I just wanted to kind of throw our two cents in as we obviously pay attention to more than just sports here on the program, but this is one of these things that has captured my mind. God knows my wife has paid attention to this and been on chat boards and chat rooms and has listened to every conspiracy theory out there and read everything that's been written, and she's completely immersed herself in all the information on something like this. As we sat last night for about 3 hours combing stuff on the internet just to find out information about it. So the good news is that she has been found. Now the long, hard process of recovering after something like this and losing your parents on top of it, that is just beginning. But nevertheless, we wanted to make sure that we send out our joy that this young lady had been found. Welcome to the program. I'm Bill Michaels and Radio Joe across the way. If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to track us down over on Twitter, you can do so at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can also find us over on the Facebook fan page. That's another great way to get a hold of us. Some great stories there last night, too, by the way. If you haven't been there yet, I'll bring them up in a little bit. But what an incredible story written by Sports Illustrated regarding Sam Shields, if you haven't checked it. And I'll get more into that coming up a little later on as well. But because Sam Shields is going to be playing this weekend out there for the LA Rams. So you can go to Facebook fan page, go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And you can also find us on our website, BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com, and find us there as well. So that being said, it is a day in which now we've seen all the absorption of Matt LaFleur into our psyche as to whether or not he is, isn't, will be given a chance to be, or will not be the good or bad head coach for the Green Bay Packers. But the question now becomes, and this is dead on real here, okay? I'm listening to everybody throughout the state talk about the time frame for LaFleur, for what the expectations now should be. And there is no other expectation, in my opinion, than postseason this upcoming season, and then the honing for a Super Bowl the following season. If it happens prior to that, that's fine. But you fell out of favor by a couple of games this year. If you don't come in and make a couple of game difference, something's wrong. Mike McCarthy took over a 4-12 team from Mike Sherman. Came in and got that thing back. You go back to the coaches. Holmgren comes in, starts whipping it into shape almost immediately within 2 years during the postseason. But you're taking over horrific rosters. When Ted Thompson got here and hired Mike McCarthy, in a year they went from 4-12 to 500 and venturing towards the postseason. Now, this is not a 4-12 team, my friends. This is a team that, had they not gotten a flag thrown against them against the Minnesota Vikings early on this year, they win a ball game. This is a team that, had they not had a running back decide to take it out of the end zone and fumble the ball away, most likely they win a ball game. This is a team that had numerous opportunities throughout the season and figured out ways to lose rather than figuring out ways to win. Your job as a head coach is to put your players in the best positions to be successful. The talent was enough to get them to the postseason this year. The mistakes, the lethargic play, the I don't know, whatever you want to label it, whatever Mark Murphy labeled it the other day, the lack of accountability, all those things immediately should equal at least another win or two, correct? So if that is the case, there is no reason not to expect this team back in the postseason next year. And that's damn well where they better be. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. Who is the most likely to put them there and who has the most pressure on them? Is it Matt LaFleur as the head coach? Or Brian Gutekunst now to look at this roster and say, this portion of the roster sucks. These players are subpar. It's not all his fault. I'm not blaming it on him. I'm not. He did a hell of a job in trying to kind of put his arms around the organization last year. He was thrown. It sucks when you open the cupboard thinking you're walking into a fully furnished kitchen, and when you open the cupboard, you only have a couple of cans of beans. That's what he realized when he opened the cupboard this past year. Got a couple of cans of beans. Thought he had a fully stocked cupboard, but nah, baby, nah. Top shelf was bare. A couple of dead mice in the middle shelf. A couple of cans of beans, maybe a bag of ramen noodles. A couple of things like that hanging out in his closets. That was it. Now it's up to him to start putting cans back on the shelves. Quality meals. All-pro meals. So who has more pressure on them to get this team back into the postseason? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Who has more pressure on them right now to get this team back into the postseason? Is it Matt LaFleur, the head coach, or is it Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, who now has to go out and not only kind of wrap his arms around all the scouting that's been done this past college season, but also now has to go into the free agent market, work with Russ Ball and say, okay, how can we afford him and him and him and maybe him? How can we bolster this team immediately? Because that's what they need to do. Make no mistake about it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Go ahead, do it. Looking forward to it. Give us a shout, 855-830-8648. Want to hear from you. Because that's really the question. Where are you now lying all of this pressure? Matt LaFleur has to know, coming into this Green Bay Packers situation, it's not like taking over a bad Tampa Bay team where their goal is to get back to 500. It's not like taking over a bad Arizona team that comes off of the year that they just had where they just got a few wins. They're the top pick in the draft, and you're just hoping in the next 3 years you can get this thing back to right. That's not it. This is the Green Bay Packers, damn it. They have a Taj Mahal built in green to themselves up in the town called Green Bay, the smallest market in all of major sports. The thing that makes that city go, the monetary influx and cash flow. That's what makes this whole thing go. He's responsible for that now because he's responsible for the wins. Think of last weekend. How much money was lost by the Packers not playing in Green Bay? The bar owners, the restaurants, the hotels, the gas stations, the convenience stores, the grocery stores, the clothing stores, the fan shop, the pro shops, all the different t-shirt manufacturers up there, the mall in that area. Think of all those houses that are normally rented, all the parking, all the people that make money off of people parking in their yard. Think about all the money that did not happen last weekend in Green Bay because the Packers simply weren't there for the second year in a row. Think about that. That's what he's responsible for. So, yeah, I want to see this team get things right. I want to see accountability. I don't want to see complacency. Absolutely. But who has more pressure on them to get this thing right? Is it Matt LaFleur, the new head coach? Or is it Brian Gutekunst, the guy that's responsible for stocking the shelves? 855-830-8648. Want your answer when we come back. We'll start going to the phone calls. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Singing through these power lines, and I'm running on time and feeling.
The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you were on board today. Thanks so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Opened up talking a little bit about the Green Bay Packers and the pressure that is now on Matt LaFleur, the new head coach, and Brian Gutekunst as to who is kind of feeling it more. You know? Zach says, hey, look, it's more on Gutekunst at this point. This is a bad roster. Matt LaFleur will be under the microscope, but you can't make lemonade without lemons. Gutekunst needs to bring in some guys. Bart writes in the Wendy's email inbox, as much as I want to say LaFleur needs to whip this team into shape, he doesn't have much of a team. Let's look at this defensively and say there's only about three guys that I would keep. Now, I don't think I'd go that far. When you say there's only three guys you would keep, he lists off Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, and Mike Daniels. I think there's more talent on that roster than you're giving it credit for. Okay, I agree with you. I would love to see, obviously, Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark continue to excel. Jair Alexander continue to excel. I think Josh Jackson's a good slot corner, slot guy. Josh Jones needs to get better in the safety position. But, no, you could upgrade there. You could upgrade at the right outside linebacker position. I think middle linebacker Blake Martinez is really solid. I'd like to see a counter to him. And after that, I mean, look at what you ended the season with. Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster. Tyler Lancaster is a guy that really came on and guys really like. I just don't know if, the street free agent's going to all of a sudden make this team and become some kind of a monster starter in the NFL, and that's what you need right now. I like Antonio Morrison at the left inside linebacking position. I don't think their linebacking core is bad. I just think that they everybody on that defensive side of the football, there can be an upgrade there. But I don't think it's bad. I like Antonio Morrison as a thumper. I think he's a knowledgeable guy. I watched him play. He's a guy that can shed blocks, good arms, quick feet. I really like what he brought to the table. He's just, you didn't trade for Brian Urlacher. You know what I mean? You didn't trade for Ray Lewis. So there's a level that you're looking for that you just don't have right now. So defensively speaking, I would agree you have three, four, five guys. I'm not giving up Jair Alexander. Kevin King, when healthy, fantastic. The guy just, he's like Gumby, man. Every time he goes to the ground, you got to bend him back into place. And then it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get him back into place. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But Alexander, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels. I like Blake Martinez. He's improved every year, if you just look at his numbers. Some are now saying, well, Blake Martinez, he's a tackle, he's going to get 16 tackles, but he's all going to do it all downfield 5 yards down the road. Well, if that's where the play goes, that's where the play goes. If you're running away, if you're not having people run right at you to fill the hole, then you're usually chasing down the play. I don't know what to tell you. I want to see more out of Oren Burks coming into next year, So defensively speaking, I would agree that that needs a big upgrade. He then goes on to say that the tight end position for the Green Bay Packers is lacking. Mercedes Lewis is probably out of here. Robert Tonyan, it looks to be the real deal. I want to see them give him an opportunity. Look, the tight end position we discussed a little bit last night during the huddle. Jimmy Graham, you got to go to Jimmy Graham and just say, Jimmy, how you feeling? You got to give me more. And then you have to create something for him. This is where Matt LaFleur comes in. You have to have some usage out of the tight end position. And you got to look at the quarterback and say, you're going to go to him. If he drops the first one, I don't care. You got to go back to him. You can't just pick and choose who you want to throw the ball to consistently. Maybe in big situations you may shy away or maybe go with the second read, but we're going to set some things up for this particular cat to get open. And you got to throw to a spot. And damn it, Jimmy, you got to be there. You can't just worry about open green jerseys. You got to throw to spots. You got to get into that kind of comfort zone. And turnovers be damned. I mean, it's not that we want turnovers, but you can't be so afraid that you look at wide open guys and say, I'm not going to go there just because they may not catch the football. And then we'll see the thing progress. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. This one is from Mark. Mark says, hey guys, Brian Gutekunst has everything on his shoulders now. Mark Murphy has done his grandiose at the podium. Now it's up to Goody behind the scenes to bring in the right personnel. They better dip into free agency for at least 3 or 4 guys to give them some veteran experience and make this team better in a hurry. Otherwise, this draft and develop crap is going to be a retread of Ted Thompson, and Gutekunst will then need to go. Appreciate the email. 855-830-8648. give us a shout. So who has more pressure on them? Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, or Brian Gutekunst? This one is from James. James says, by far it's LaFleur. People are missing the fact that the Packers could have went to the postseason this year, but they had a couple of bad plays that kept him out. They need to upgrade their kicker. If they don't, they at least need competition for Mason Crosby. They need to upgrade their defense. Mike Pettine needs to grab his arms around this thing twice now and make everybody better. You've got young guys that have played a full season. I would expect the wide receiving core to be better and Aaron Rodgers to pull his head out of his blank and then pass the ball to open receivers and stop looking for the big play and running all over the place every damn time he takes a snap. Oh, by the way, clock management is going to be key. I want to see what LaFleur does and if he can get Aaron Rodgers to stop calling timeouts when the clock is about to expire, the most unnecessary timeout in all of football and drives me crazy. Appreciate it. Can't argue with a lot of that. I mean, as far as the grand picture goes, because I just said that. This team wasn't that far away. For where their record was and the way they lost some of the games, it still wasn't that far away. They were three wins away from getting themselves into the postseason. And they had two or three games they could have very easily won. They could have won the game in L.A. They could have won the game against Minnesota. You know, they could have beaten the Bears. You know, there's more than a few games that they could have won, and they just didn't. So I would agree that this team is a play. That's why I said I'm not expecting this team in the midst of a soft rebuild to just get back to 500 next year. Hell no. This team needs to get to the postseason next year and then really be vying for a Super Bowl the year after that. And who knows? You get into the postseason next year, you get some camaraderie going, you keep the injuries to a minimum. Next thing you know, all of a sudden you find yourself playing on divisional weekend, looking for an opportunity to go into an NFC Championship game. Why not? Coming up today, by the way, we're going to talk with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. We're going to get his thoughts on the Green Bay Packers on the hire. Also going to talk some baseball today. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He will join us coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes from now. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to be here. Mike Clemens making his Friday appearance on the show in the last hour of the program. He'll join us for a few segments as well. We'll pick his brain, but this is kind of an interesting conundrum right now for Packers fans because, look, Matt LaFleur's in his first year. Everybody wanted to blame somebody. First it was Ted Thompson. Then you wanted to blame Mike McCarthy. For a long time it was Dom Capers. So everybody you had a finger on or the crosshairs on is now gone. Now you got a new head coach and everybody will say, well, you got to give him time. You got a new general manager. Everybody will say, well, you got to give him time. The one guy that's taking all the heat right now is Mark Murphy. And he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, he may have pulled the trigger a year too late. Okay, I'll give you that. But I don't fault him for making money and building sledding hills and bringing in restaurants and you know, buying up land around you know, Lambeau Field. That's what he's supposed to do, make money, keep the team viable. I don't have a problem with that. But the product on the field is what comes first and foremost, and that's what everything else is built off of. And this thing got away from him a little bit, which is the reason he's wrapped his arms so around it now and squeezing it so tightly. Because that's what he's, again, supposed to do. So who has the most pressure on him to get this thing back to right? Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, or Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Got a lot of people chiming in over there on Twitter. Gutekunst has now put together a team that can perform. Now you have a defensive coordinator that has established, get a pass rush to help those young defensive backs, get an O-line that can pass and block, pass block. I think you're all set. Good young wide receivers. I'm excited. Right side of the line or maybe even just a guard. If Bulaga comes back and can stay healthy, just a guard. You need a guard and you need tackle depth. You don't have to replace everybody on the right side. But you have to have at least strength in numbers over there as far as quality numbers for backups. You have to have that. But you got to fix the guard position. You solidify the guard position, I think you're going to be good to go. I really do. 855-830-8648. Carson says, Goot, the guy already drafted a mediocre corner over a generational safety. Guess what our biggest need is? A safety. The guy doesn't get it. If a Green Bay doesn't make the playoffs, they need to show him the door. Wait a minute. They passed on a safety. You got a mediocre corner?
He's talking about Derwin James.
Right, but you needed corners coming into the season. You had safeties. You had HaHa Clinton Dix. You had Josh Jones. You already had safeties. You felt pretty good about that going into the season. What you didn't have was quality corners. You had a banged up Kevin King, and you weren't quite sure if you were even going to be able to play corner with Josh Jones, who turns out to be a better safety than he does a corner. So you got Jair Alexander, who had a hell of a year. You put that cat on an island a lot towards the end of the season. He was schooled, but his absorption of the NFL this year was invaluable. And you brought in a veteran in Tremont Williams to school them. I thought he did a fantastic job. Just because it didn't work out that way, because they let go of HaHa Clinton Dix. And who was the other cat they got rid of? The guy, not Breland, the guy that took the face slap.
Jermaine Whitehead.
Jermaine Whitehead. They got rid of Jermaine Whitehead. So when they started jettisoning guys because they were jerks, you didn't see that coming. You know? It wasn't until things got so bad you said, you know what, I don't have to put up with this crap. They were okay at safety. They did not have corners. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he got some quality right there in the draft. 855-830-8648. By the way, the Bucks back at it tonight. Going to be taking on the Washington Wizards, and we'll discuss that coming up here shortly. Also, I don't think we've even talked about this. I mentioned this yesterday off the air, but Sean Payton, I like it. I'm liking it. This is the kind of thing that you really kind of were hoping Mike McCarthy would do. And Sean Payton found a little inspiration. We'll talk about that as well. That's coming up. Let's go to Sean listening to us in Bayview. Sean, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Pretty good, man. Yeah, I would say only because the GM has a hand in hiring the coach. If it doesn't come together next year, there's really no one else to blame but him as well as Mark Murphy. I mean, those are the top dogs, and they hired the coach. So
yeah.
If they can't do that, can't get good players, I don't know who else there is to blame.
Right. So. Well, here's the other question. How long do you give all of this to now work out? 2 years?
As far as the coach goes next year, if it doesn't go that great, you got to give the guy another chance. I mean, you hired the guy. You know he's young. You can't just come in there and lights out be Vince Lombardi. That's like, I mean, if he does, that's fantastic. But if he's not, you got to give him another year, but maybe start looking for a better talent buyer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, this is good. This is a huge, with 10 draft choices and money to spend, this is a huge offseason for the Green Bay Packers.
They have a huge opportunity. I'm
yep.
hoping it's one of those years like when they got Reggie White, Sean Jones, you know, they stacked mm-hmm. up. And
well, they, I mean, I don't think, because your Reggie White was Khalil Mack and they passed on him last year.
Right.
So that's out of the question. But there's still some guys you're going to be able to find in free agency, and maybe you get creative with a deal.
Yeah, you get creative with the deal. I mean, you also don't want to just start pulling triggers just to do it to make people happy. So,
right.
You got to be careful with who you sign them. But there is some good talent out there, but we already have a good running back. I'd like to see another veteran wide receiver. Those rookies, they obviously are talented, but they didn't really impress me very much. And you can't put it all on Davante Adams' shoulders because he saw what happened when we did that.
Well, Devontae, you're going to get Geronimo back. Plus, you've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling with a year under his belt now. I really like what he did. He's more of a downfield threat. I do like Equanimeous St. Brown as kind of a possession over the middle guy. I think they're pretty good at wide receiver. You could probably use one or two more, depending on what you end up doing. Go ahead.
They don't have to be Antonio Brown.
No. But, you know, hey, if that deal comes up too, would you want to see Antonio Brown be in green and gold? You know, maybe they get creative and make a deal like that. I don't know if that happens or not. Now the Rooneys are talking about trading away Antonio Brown.
Yeah, we already got our top dog. I think we just need solid wide receiver 2 and 3. But, you know, every year somebody gets injured and we get screwed somehow.
Well, I think not only do you have solid 2 and 3, you're probably solid all the way 4 down, but I think what you need is another guy. I appreciate the phone call. I think you need a veteran. Just my sense, but I think you need another veteran. Geronimo Allison did not play all 16 games last year. He is still a young cat. Davante Adams is your veteran. After that, you don't have anybody. I think you could probably use a veteran, maybe out there on the free agent market, or somebody that you could create it for and pick up in a trade deal. 855-830-8648. Real quick, let's go to Mark listening to us in Butler. Mark, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, Bill. Listen, I was listening to what you're saying, you know, a couple of days ago and then today. This team is not a playoff team next year. I mean, this team has to go out and spend money to get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And have they shown the willingness to do that? No.
Well, under Ted Thompson, no. Under Gutekunst, they brought in Jimmy Graham. They brought in Mo Wilkerson. They brought in Tremont Williams. I mean, they spent some money.
They spent a little bit of money. And Jimmy Graham is not the Jimmy Graham of old.
Correct.
And Jimmy Graham may not even be here next year. Nick Perry may not be here next year.
Right.
Thank God Clay Matthews isn't going to be here next year. I mean, we've been paying players this entire season for subpar performances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're really going to step out and the Packers are going to make the playoffs, we need to use those two first-round draft picks and draft intelligently. Get a top tight end from college with that second pick and get an edge rusher with that first pick and then bring a couple of veteran edge rushers, a linebacker, and a safety in. And then, you're talking receiver, offensive line. There's no way anyone can think this team is a playoff team.
Well, if they had appreciate the phone call, think of it this way. They had a shot at winning the Minnesota game had it not been for a penalty. They tie that ball game. They should have beaten Detroit in Detroit. They should have beaten the Rams in L.A. They should have beaten the Seahawks in Seattle. They should have had the Vikings at Lambeau. They should have beaten the Arizona Cardinals at Lambeau. That's four wins. You put four wins on top of what they already had, that's 10-win season right there. And then they're in the postseason. They're a wild card, but they're in the postseason. You take three of those games, and they're in the postseason. That's the reason I expect this team to be back in the postseason next year. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hot to fire, streets of stone, modern warriors, satellite horses of chrome, taste wild.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. They have euros right now. Check out the euros that they have to offer. Euro meat, chicken meat, all the fixings and the sauces, by the way. All on that fantastic bread from Cousins, fresh made. Oh, so good. Stop in and grab one for yourself. They're for a limited time, by the way, so you better get in now. And if that's not your bag, that's okay. They have everything else, too. They have the clubs. They have the pepperoni melt, the Bill Michaels, extra mayo, extra cheese. Sides of cheese curds, the Radio Joe cheese curds. They've got chips. They've got cookies. They've got soups and salads and everything you could possibly want over at Cousin Subs. Just make them your one-stop shop. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Trap game! Bucks tonight taking on the Wizards in Washington. Wizards come into this contest 17-25, 12-7 at home, though. And the Bucks 29-11, 10-7 away from the Fiserv Forum. Fiserv Forum has become this fortress of solitude for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have not had the same kind of success on the road. Nevertheless, they still have a record above 500. This is a game in which they are going to play well, not a great Washington team, coming off of a big win over Houston. And this has that trap game written all over it. So hopefully the Bucks avoid that, and then they gear up for Atlanta coming up on Sunday. That is a 2:30 start Central Time as they go into Atlanta, and at State Farm Arena, by the way, and take on the Hawks. The Hawks, a 12-29 team, 7-10 at home. That's a game the Bucks should win. You get a nice win here, and you're rolling. Because don't forget, you got the win the other night against the Rockets. And then you got the win on Monday, a hard-fought win at the Fiserv Forum for the Jazz. You put a nice little four-game win streak together. Take that. That'd be some nice pickings for the Milwaukee Bucks, but you got to get it done tonight. Got to get it done tonight against the Washington Wizards. Brady Beal coming into this game, averaging 24.5 points per game. He's the guy you got to pay attention to. Chris Middleton right now is trying to bounce back out of that slump. He's shooting better, not shooting great. Obviously, the Greek Freak makes this thing go. Eric Bledsoe, is the guy that has really, really come on and played extremely well. But then it's peacemakers, man. It's Thonmaker one night. The next night, it's somebody else. The next night, it's Brooke Lopez. The next night, it's Connington. The next night, everybody's had a hand in this. And Connington, ever since that, hasn't had a chance to play. He got a little nicked up, and when he went to the bench, guys have just outplayed him. He's just been sitting there watching the games go by. That's how good this team has been. So tonight, taking on the Washington Wizards down at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Yes, Joe, I thought you were going to say something.
Well, no, I had a guy on Twitter, Dean Maniat, who writes for Brew Hoop. He's a big statistician, and he really digs deep into the numbers. There was a particular stat that I was very curious about, and I didn't really have access to it, and I want to know about Chris Middleton's three-point percentage when it comes to wide-open looks, because every Bucks game I watch, Chris Middleton gets these unbelievable looks, whether it's a catch-and-shoot three or there's just no one around him, and he actually has time to set up and try and take the shot. It seems like he misses more often than not. So I asked Dean, I tweeted at him earlier, I said, hey, can you just look this up? Like, what's his three-point percentage when it comes to wide-open looks? So Dean sent it back to me. He's 21 of 65. That's 32% for the season. That's not good.
No, not for wide-open looks.
Not for wide-open looks, no. Now, overall, field goal percentage when it comes to open looks, which includes the mid-range, which he's exceptional at, Middleton is 54 of 130. That's 41.5% on total open looks for the season, which is also not that great. Chris Middleton got off to a really hot start in the first month of the season, and I was starting to believe, well, maybe Chris Middleton now is going to take his game to the next level. Nah, he is what he is. He's a streaky player. He's a very good player, but he's streaky. And Middleton, as of late, has played a little bit better, but how long will that go on for? You're kind of due for another drought out of Chris Middleton. The most that you can hope for is that Chris Middleton gets hot in the playoffs, because I think that's going to be one of the key factors as to whether or not this team can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. A lot of it's going to hinge on Chris Middleton and which Chris Middleton is going to want to show up. That's going to be the key thing. But that stat on wide open looks, that kind of just went along with the eye test there. 32% on the season for three-point attempts. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. No. He's got to work on that, man. Because all this talk about max contract and, you know, should he get max money because he's going to be well sought out this offseason from so many teams. He is not worth max money. I don't care how you slice it. And, you know, unless he wants to take some kind of hometown discount with the Bucks, I'm not paying the guy $30 million.
No,
it's not
now here's the question, though. Is he unrestricted?
No, he's got an option.
He's got an option.
He's got an option, but he can opt out of that.
But then he would be unrestricted. The Bucks would still have a shot at matching whatever offer would be out there. See, that's what I would say. I would say, go out and find what you want, and we'll pay you over that. Go out and find what you can, get an offer sheet, and, you know, now, granted, a restricted free agent, the Bucks have that opportunity.
Well, he's not restricted.
That's what I'm saying. But I would tell him, say, we want to pay you, but we're not quite sure what the market's going to bear. Do you want to do that? Now, it may just make him PO, and off he goes and doesn't want to come back. But that might not be a bad business move, is to say, go see what you can get. If some team falls in their head and wants to give you $30 million, it's, man, great, go have at it.
But if it's a
$20 million contract or $15 million contract because he just doesn't hit consistently, which I don't think is going to happen. I think it'll be more than that. But then you say, you know what, at least you save $5, $6, $8 million.
It's a player option, $13 million, which you know he is not is not picking up that. That's
and
not
in today's
happening.
Day and age in the NBA, that's not what he'll make. I mean, he'll end up, like I said, 18, 20, something like that for what he's proven this year. But he hasn't. Max guys to me are your superstars. Is he a superstar?
No.
No, he's Michael Redd. He's Michael Redd. Going to go ahead and go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about this more, this whole situation with the Bucks, because right now, yes, this season has been incredible. I've been all over it. I've been gushing about it. I'll admit it. But next year, after whatever happens this season, there's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, once again, good luck to John Horst on trying to make decisions on who you can bring back at what price, because so many guys are going to want pay raises.
With what he's done this year, bringing in Ilyasova, which was easy because Ilyasova wanted to be here anyway, bringing in Brook Lopez, kind of reformulating this thing, picking up DiVincenzo. Do you put more stock into what John Horst is capable of doing?
Well, I have more trust in John Horst based on these latest moves that he's made. He really hasn't screwed up since the start of the offseason. But my whole thing is, you got to find a way to bring back as much of the band together as you can. If you want to sacrifice Chris Middleton, you know, say if $30 million is what Chris Middleton's going to make next season. Okay, Bucks don't need that. But use that $30 million to invest it in at least two players. Bring back Malcolm Brogdon and Brook Lopez for hopefully under $30 million. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But if you're going to do that, but you still need that other piece then you got to go out and find somebody as good, cheaper, or better for more.
I would rather take my chances that way than pay a guy like Chris Middleton $30 million.
Unless he all of a sudden just blows it up in the second half. Right. Just comes out and just lights it up.
Right, or he helps carry, him and Giannis carry the Bucks into the Eastern Conference Finals or even the Finals, where Middleton plays the way that he did against Boston last season in the playoffs. If that Middleton shows up and is able to get the Bucks that far, then I will have this conversation again, and I will be more on board giving him that money, and I'll take my chances that way. But right now, to me, he's not worth that money.
Did you see what he did to motivate his team? I'll tell you who I'm talking about and what went on. That's coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show continues. We're sitting here watching some of the highlights of Super Bowls and just, I'll tell you what, Reggie White was a beast, man. That guy doesn't get nearly enough credit for what he did for the Green Bay Packers. Well, everybody talks about Brett Favre, and look, the quarterbacks get all the praise, but Reggie White was a freaking beast. You don't win that game if Reggie White's not a part of that team. Mike Holmgren, Ron Wolf, Brett Favre, they get a lot of credit, but probably way too much. Reggie was a beast. He took over two straight series in that game, back-to-back sacks on Bledsoe, batting a ball down. Just, I mean, the guy was just incredible. Incredible. 855-830-8648. So if you're going to motivate a team, as you got the divisional round coming up this weekend, Philadelphia on the road going to New Orleans. So how do you motivate guys in today's day and age? Well, you know what? I was listening to Dave Wannstedt on Chicago radio the other day, and he said, you know, when he was coaching the Bears, and I was coaching the Bears, he had a big game coming up in 2 weeks. And they were going to play, I think he was talking about Tampa Bay or some lesser team. I can't remember the exact team. I think it was Tampa Bay, but I'm not sure. But the point being is he wanted to avoid the pitfalls of the trap game. So he put mouse traps on every seat in the meeting room. And if you sat on it because you weren't looking and it snapped your behind, you were now realized that you just kind of took things for granted sitting down, and thus you were a part of a trap. So don't take this for granted and allow this to become a trap game, if you will. So he hung a giant mouse trap in the middle of the team locker room. So I'm going, okay, I get it. You know, it's effective. You sit down, get your behind snapped. Yeah, that'll get your attention. But what else gets your attention in today's day and age? Cash. Bling. You got to remember, the guys that are playing football right now, that are the younger cats, they grew up watching Jersey Shore. They grew up watching the Kardashians. They grew up watching, My Fabulous Life. So that's where their mentality is. So what did he do? He got $250,000 in cash. Cool cash. Along with the Vince Lombardi trophy and the Saints' big old Super Bowl ring from some years gone by. And he piled it all with armed guards and a posse right in the middle of the room. And guys walked in with spotlights on it and looked at it, and this thing's glowing, and you walk in and, well, what is that? First of all, and Lee Steinberg tells me this all the time. We'll talk to him again when we go to Super Bowl. But Lee Steinberg says, look, guys will never know the amount of money they have. They don't realize it. All they know is it's a number. And my number's bigger than your number because I'm better than you. That's the R word. That's respect. But when you see a quarter million in cash sitting in front of you in fives and tens, that's a lot of dough. That's a lot of money straps. And a ring with the bling and obviously the trophy. He looks at him, he says, you win three games and this is yours. The guys went, what? He said, you win three games and that's yours. That's it. Now let's go practice. And as they filed out, they all went up and touched it, held it, smelled it. Hell, some of you probably licked it. They can taste it now. I like that motivation. Sean Payton, man. Still alive and kicking in New Orleans. His counterpart, Mike McCarthy, sitting in Houston hanging out with a family. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's not coaching in the NFL. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.